The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Tuesday, the 8th of October, 2019. On the podcast today, I have a long chat, discussion, argument with Glenn Goodman, the crypto trader. And even though we're both on the same side, we're both sort of quite bullish on crypto, you know? He's a trader more, I'm more an investor. And I'm a recent sort of convert. I was sceptical about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies for a long time. But since the sort of crypto winter, you know, the bear market that happened, and I've been reading about global economies and, you know, inflation and where we're going at the moment, I'm quite bullish on Bitcoin. And I discuss this again, but we argue like a trader and investor would argue. So have a listen to that. Also on the podcast, two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, if you receive an RNS via the Vox Markets app, which is free to download from your app store, and you like the content of that RNS, then please give it a thumbs up. And it could appear on this podcast and in those top 10 lists at the front page at voxmarkets.co.uk.
To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Glenn the Goodman. He's a cryptocurrency trader and he's written a book about it too. It's called The Crypto Trader. See, it says what it does on the front page of the tin. Does it come in a tin or just in a book form? Then?
You're right. I should have put it in a tin, shouldn't I? Special, like they do with like Pink Floyd 50th anniversary albums, that kind of thing.
How anyone can make money trading Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. That's the subtitle there.
Anyone, Justin.
It would be novelty, wouldn't it, if you did put it in a tin? It wouldn't be easy to store, I suppose, and stack, but it'd take up more space, so Amazon wouldn't be happy with that, because, of course, you know, footage, their square footage is money to them. They need to utilise as much space as they can. Just, do you know what? I'm a convert.
Yes. I've heard this about you. I heard it on the rumour mill. Justin.
Where is that mill? Where is that mill located? I've never been there, to the rumour mill.
It's located on the internet.
I've been to the flower mill.
Throughout the dark webs. Everyone on the dark webs are talking about how Justin is a convert to Bitcoin. Yeah. And it's finally happened.
I've never been to the rumour mill. I went to the flower mill, which is a really dodgy pub in my hometown of Blackwood. In fact, it was shut down for drug dealing. It was really renowned for drug dealing in that place. But not the rumour mill. But sounds quite good. People just stand around talking about rumours in the bar. But do you know what? I've been watching several videos. I know they're from Ultra Bulls, or, you know, Bitcoin Bulls and Crypto Bulls. But, and this one guy in this one video is 44 minutes long. I watched it last night. And this one guy says, I think he's from sort of Far East, I mean, maybe Chinese and all that, but he's got some kind of accent. But he did say, I put this video together because when it struck me, I became like Neo in that film. What's the film? The Matrix.
The Matrix.
When he suddenly became amazing at karate and he's hitting that guy one hand, it became very clear to him that where Bitcoin was going in the future. And I watched the video, and I sort of got it before I watched this video, but it makes complete sense to me. And it's about just generally inflation and the fact that, you know, fiat currencies, traditional currencies around the world, owned by central banks, they can print as much money as they want. And so there's no hard supply. It's as simple as that. And you know, so the debt we have at the moment is phenomenal. Do you know we have like, I think it was $200 trillion or something ridiculous of that, or global. And so a quarter of that has been created in the last 7 years. So debt has gone crazy. And so what happens is, after a while, sooner or later, there will be a debt problem, you know. When the economy slows down, people will have problems paying off their debt. What happens then? People will start tightening their spending. They'll stop spending. They'll lose. And obviously, this will have a knock-on impact on the economy. Economies are slowing down anyway. So then, you know, central banks have to lower interest rates and may start printing money, which the ECB are doing. That's increased the supply. That means your purchasing power goes up. You increase supply, you know, and demand stays the same pretty much. And it only goes one way. And so, what I'm saying, currencies, traditional currencies, are devaluing. In fact, in several countries, it's blowing up, like in Venezuela, a place like this. They are using now Bitcoin in Venezuela. Certain countries are using Bitcoin. It makes sense because it's stable compared to their currency. And so when you have a finite supply like Bitcoin, 21 million Bitcoin, and that's, you know, it'll stop. New supply will stop in 2040. It's only going one way. And when you think of it, all our lives, Glenn, have gone digital in the last few years. So why wouldn't currencies go digital? You know, because the next generation of people are more, you know, on the internet than I am, and we are. And so, of course, it makes sense. Adoption of digital, it'd be more trustworthy for them than it is to us. And so
currency is definitely going to go digital. I mean, there's almost no doubt about that. But the question remains, will that currency... You know, will the currencies that take off be the independent ones like Bitcoin, the ones that were created outside the establishment, or will they be central bank digital currencies? Because nearly every major central bank in the world has now got lots of backroom coders working on creating their own central bank digital currencies, their own digital version of the pound and the euro and the dollar. So that's the big question, is will they manage to maintain control of money despite the fact that they will continue to devalue their currencies constantly by money printing of all descriptions. We both know they're very, very likely to continue doing that because they really have no option if they want to stimulate their economies, particularly during the next downturn. So the question is, will people turn to harder currencies? Because that's the whole point of Bitcoin, is it's a relatively hard currency. Making it soon, there won't be any new Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Glenn, if the governments start creating, and they are, like I say, you know, there are banks now working with cryptocurrencies like Ripple and all that stuff, which are bank-to-bank payments. But if governments start with their own digital currencies, this, in my mind, will strengthen Bitcoin. Because it's an adoption of the technology for a start. Secondly, I can't see them, you know, they've got to have inflation. They've got to have, to keep the economy going, they've got to encourage inflation. So even if they create these digital currencies, they won't have a fixed supply. So in the end, the very fact that they adopt the technology will boost Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash maybe. And secondly, Bitcoin will become the stable currency in the digital currency world. It's already the dominant one because the supply is fixed. Now, I honestly laugh when I first saw this. We were laughing last week about, you know, the target price of Bitcoin being $1 million per coin. There's a guy there, I don't know if it was Far Eastern guy, Chinese guy, I think it was, but I've seen him on CNBC quite a lot. What's his name? He's quite...
Is it Tom Lee by any chance?
No, I don't know. But what's his Twitter account? It's called something like... I don't know. But he made a good argument for it being 10 million per Bitcoin. And I was swayed by this excellent chart. And he was showing that a certain amount of trillion...
Was he saying gold? Was he saying people own as much Bitcoin as they own gold?
Well, no. What he did, he said, right, during the 70s, when people got to a certain age where they have disposable income or investable income, when they got to a certain level where they have income they can invest, in the 70s, it largely went, or earlier than that, went to sort of gold, yes. And this is what happened to the price of gold. So he showed the appreciation of gold. He said in the 80s, it went to the stock market. That's why we had a bull run. He said, so this amount of people put this amount of money to work investing and largely went to the stock market. That's the appreciation of the stock market. He said, now, where's it going to go now? And, he said, people are more trusting of the internet, digital currencies and all this stuff. And he said, if it goes to Bitcoin, and he did a percentage of those kind of investment levels, he said, we're talking $10 million per Bitcoin. He said, OK, that's extreme, but, you know, we are at the start. And he said, this video I watched last, I said, basically, we are now with, blockchain, where we were with the internet in 1993. It's very much the start, you know, and he showed a couple of clips saying, if you imagine when horses and carts were around and then they invented the first car, people would have laughed at the first car. They said, what do you want all that for? First of all, what are you going to get petrol for it? Where are you going to get that from? There's no gas stations around. If it breaks down, you can't fix it yourself. How are you going to do it? You know, there's no roads. It wasn't any roads, pretty much. It wasn't practical to go on the roads. So horses take very little maintenance, cost very little, and you can travel a lot faster. And in fact, at the start, you had to have someone walking in front of a car because people thought it was dangerous. So there wasn't the infrastructure there at all for cars. People just laughed at it. Look how well cars have done. So you realise you're starting the infrastructure for blockchain now, And like, so, you know, we know eat. And what I thought was amazing as well, Bitcoin now has been around for 10 years. There's not been one fraudulent transaction in 10 years. I thought it's phenomenal. It's a proof of concept. It's worked.
Yeah, you know, it's really impossible to do. Well, virtually impossible to do a fraudulent transaction.
Stacking up. I mean, you are into it, but are you seeing the long term potential of it be just investing in the currency, you know, rather than trading?
Well, seeing as I've devoted most of my life now to it, then yeah, I think you could safely assume that I see the potential of Bitcoin. Yeah, I wrote that book, but you know the.
But you trade it. I'm talking about being actually a convert and being an investor in it and holding it. And if it dips, buying it.
Like any good trader, and really any good investor, I maintain a healthy degree of skepticism about the future of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general. People who are very closely tied in with the industry tend to be quite skeptical as well. Not all of them, but quite a lot of them, because they know about all the various pitfalls that could come along the way. It's by no means a sure thing. But having said all that, the argument that you heard on that video, which is an argument I often regurgitate myself at conferences and so on, I always use that kind of 1993 equivalent of where we are in the development cycle. But 10 years, though.
10 years has been going now. It's gone through a heck of a bear market. It hasn't collapsed. And literally, there's been no fraudulent activity. It's still doing what it's supposed to have done. You know, of course, there are issues. It'll be updates, and they'll, like I said, Bitcoin Cash was spun off because of the transactional rate was slow on Bitcoin and all this. And of course, there'll be upgrades and all that. But I think the concept is there, isn't it? It's proof of concept. It's done 10 years.
The concept is lovely. The concept works really, really well. The only thing that's lacking is popular uptake. Right. But that is very important. You know, a technology can be there are so many examples of on the technology scrap heap throughout history of technologies that were fantastic, that had so much proof of concept. But if they don't quite get that critical mass of people to adopt them, then you're in trouble and they can just disappear altogether. Now, I think that, I mean, in my personal opinion, the likelihood is that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies will go from strength to strength, that their prices will continue to rise and rise over the long term, and there'll be a fantastic trade and a fantastic investment. I think that's more likely than 50%. But there is still a significant likelihood, and it can't be avoided, that Bitcoin will go the way of other technologies on the scrap heap because it is not getting enough ordinary people using it yet.
No, that's not the point.
The problems that stop it being adopted have not properly been solved yet. They've not been solved adequately.
No, I'm not talking about using it as a payment, though. I'm talking about literally it being an asset. It's because gold, for example, right? We'll go back to the gold example.
Yeah.
Gold was used as the, you know, sort of payment method for anything, you know, and then everyone was hooked on it. And then they minted sort of gold coins out of the gold because gold was too lumpy, you couldn't take it around, it's too heavy. And then in the end, it was linked to the pounds. They said, oh, we'll use the bearer of this note, this dollar was completely, you could swap your money for your pit money for gold. And that was what they said. Then all of a sudden, 1971, they just unhooked from the gold because it wasn't practical enough. Did the price of gold go down? No, it dipped a little bit, not a lot. But gold is still there now. It's precious metal seen as now Bitcoin is digital gold, so it doesn't have to be. I don't think it's there. I think we'll get spin-offs like Bitcoin Cash that need to do what they need to do, transactions, even though still it's way below Visa in a per second transactions. That'll do. But I think when central banks say go digital, that will just prove Bitcoin will be the. Like I said, 67% of the market is Bitcoin, isn't it? Pretty much all the crypto market. That's how big it is. It's the top dog. And I just think, if anything, it'll strengthen Bitcoin as it's digital gold. It's just a safe asset.
Look,
it could well be more stable.
Well, be. I absolutely agree with you. It could well be digital gold. But what if it turns out to be digital shells? You know, people used to use shells as money. And I'm sure there was a guy, however many thousands of years ago, going, these shells are so popular. Everybody, I tell you,
everybody
is going to be using shells all over the world.
And the supply was massive.
But
they weren't conformed. There was millions of them. The supply was anywhere. Anyone who goes on the beach can get rich. It's different, isn't it? But But if you look at now, even that article I sent you about the hash rate, I mean, can you? I don't know if I can explain.
Yeah, yeah.
What is hash rate? It's basically the amount of power.
Hash rate is, yeah, it's basically sort of how many miners, how many Bitcoin miners are involved in actively working their computers to the max in order to solve these complex mathematical problems that allow them to create new Bitcoins. That's kind of how Bitcoins are created. So the fact that the hash rate is so high now shows that there's a hell of a lot of interest from rich miners. They're usually pretty rich organizations these days, and they're pressing hard to create new Bitcoin, which means, of course, that they have confidence in the future of the system, which is a good thing. There is a bad aspect to that, though. As I say, I'm always a skeptic. There is a bad side, which is one of the main benefits of Bitcoin is its security, right? The fact that nobody can take charge of it, that it's decentralized. But we have a problem at the moment, which is that nearly all or the vast majority of the hashing power, the mining power, is in the hands of just four or five mining conglomerates. And what's more...
But that will stop, though.
What's that?
But that will come to an end in 10 years' time. No.
2140. Yeah, you've got the century wrong. It's 2140, not 2040. Yeah, yeah. 2140 is when the last Bitcoin is created.
Really?
Yes. I mean, having said that, nearly all of them have already been created. Like 17 million, more than 17 million out of the total 21 million are already out there in existence. So really, we're just getting a dribble of new Bitcoin now. So it is, in that sense, a very hard currency.
No, it's not. It's, I'm looking here on the thing. It says halving, key events. Next one is expected next year.
Yeah.
That's 6 years. Fourth halving is expected in 2024. Fifth halving is expected in 2028. I haven't got any beyond that. Hang on. This list is not exhausted. Oh, no, you're right. It says Bitcoin halvings will occur every... Yeah, but as it goes on, the price... Like I said, supply goes down, doesn't it? Because there's less being issued. But
yes.
Of course, demand... If the demand keeps going the way it is, you know, this hash rate is going up through the roof. And surely the price goes nuts.
The hash rate isn't the demand, though. The demand is the
no, but the power, the power of it. But they say the hash rate goes up, doesn't it? 3 months before the price. And so if you look at the chart of hash rate from since the start, it's phenomenal. And so if it continues in that trend, which why wouldn't it do? Because people are adopting digital, is becoming more mainstream anyway.
Yeah.
But, the supply is going down. Why wouldn't the price of Bitcoin carry on going up?
Because it depends on, you know, on demand and supply in terms of how many people actually want to buy Bitcoin. And the price
everyone will. The more people, it's going to be less, is it? Why is it going to be less? Why is it going to go down?
Because it might just go totally out of fashion. As you can tell, I'm taking a very kind of... realistic kind of...
You take the trader's view of it. Which are dirty traders you have?
You can't assume that it's going to become more and more popular. Why are you assuming that it will become more and more popular?
Because I can see into the future. Because do you know what? They said because everyone, or especially in sort of poorer countries where inflation is rife, people are getting poorer. We're all getting poorer. Debt is getting bigger. We all get poorer unless something comes at the stable. Bitcoin is stable. Okay, like I said, we are now seeing the adoption by major governments, you know, banks of digital currencies. That will boost the main dog. Of course it will. I mean, that I see Bitcoin being the stable coin compared to every other digital coin. Because the more power...
Well, rather like gold, you know, there's a lot of exaggeration about how stable it is. The price of gold, yo-yos up and down. But the price of Bitcoin yo-yos up and down even more.
But currencies
do as
well.
So how can we call it a stable place to keep your money?
No, it will be more stable. Because it'll become more and more stable. The more people adopt, the more hash power goes into it, the more stable it'll be. The more people sort of mining it or transferring it or using it, the more it's been adopted as ETFs. There are the Fidelity and all that backing it now. There's like huge regulations. And anyway, where was that thing actually? I sent you that thing there. So the guy there, they're applying, aren't they?
The SEC in America are about to decide whether they're going to allow the first Bitcoin ETF or not. And in the past, they've turned down all requests for new ETFs. Yeah. There isn't yet a Bitcoin ETF. Obviously, exchange traded funds are incredibly easy to buy and sell on just standard stock exchanges. So everybody in the Bitcoin world thinks as soon as the first Bitcoin ETF is finally approved, then it could be a game changer, and it could get tons of people doing exactly what you're talking about, which is investing at least some of their savings in Bitcoin as a kind of safe haven from the devaluation of national currencies.
Yeah.
So yes, that could, I agree with you, that could be a game changer.
So this guy, another guy who's talking about Bitcoin, and he said, and he's been talking about Bitcoin since like, you know, $10, but he said, listen, all I'm saying is put 1% of your net worth, if you invest and you're an investor and you've got 99% in the S&P, put 1% in Bitcoin. Because if everything else goes wrong, you know, and you do get diluted with major currencies and economies go wrong, you know, and it may work. Even 1% is all in Bitcoin. Mm.
It makes a good argument.
All you need to do is put 1% in Bitcoin.
Yeah, as long as you put in an amount that you can afford to lose and then just hold it. Then yeah, the worst that can happen is you lose 1% of your money, and the best that can happen is it goes up by 100-fold or even more, because that's the kind of thing Bitcoin does when it's in a bull market. It goes up 100-fold or even more than 100-fold.
Yeah, I'm not talking about going nuts and remortgaging your house and buying Bitcoin. I'm talking about having exposure to Bitcoin, because I see, honestly, I know that 10 million figure is ridiculous. I don't know if it is ridiculous. Who knows? Who knows? But I mean...
Who knows? Well, yeah. I mean, Bitcoin was like, you know, $10 a coin,
if you'd suggested
it would be $20,000 one day, then again, people would have said you're being ridiculous. So yeah, it's all very well people saying $10 million per coin is ridiculous, but maybe it isn't ridiculous. Yeah. And you know, that it is within the realms of possibility. That's the amazing thing about Bitcoin. And yet, as I say, that's why I'm a trader, because I maintain a healthy skepticism. The way I do it is I trade in a larger way, so I make large profits when there's a massive increase.
Glenn, talking about large profits, you get me going. We talk about large profits.
But
I make large profits, not small profits.
That's right, the large ones. But your suggestion of people just putting a small amount, rather than trading actively like I do, if they want to just put a small amount of their total net worth into Bitcoin and then hope for the best, then as you say, the upside could be far, far greater than the potential downside.
Yeah, but it's not just hoping for the best.
That is a decent argument.
I mean, there's lots of things. They're not hoping for this. There are lots of arguments on side Bitcoin. I mean, look at that. I mean,
there are arguments against it. I can talk all day as you're talking.
No, but hang on a sec.
I could do the devil's advocate thing all day.
10%, right? Sorry, in the last 10 years, it's gone up phenomenally, okay?
Yeah.
Now, so like I said, adoption of digital currencies is increasing, okay? Bitcoin's the main leader. It's anti-inflationary, right? Like I said, even this ETF decision on the 13th of October, he said, now, 2 years ago, there was no regulated insured custodians. Now, there are like Fidelity, there's Coinbase with hundreds of millions of dollars of insurance from firms like Lloyds. There's also 10 major crypto exchanges that are now regulated by New York Department, okay? So it's in the right of that. Now, trading, if you go on IG, the biggest site, you know, in the UK, 75% of people lose money trading. So if you're asking me what I prefer to do, try trading it or holding it a little bit, I prefer to hold it because I'm an investor. I'm not a dirty little trader, Glenn. I'm an investor, yeah? I do a bit of research, I believe in something, and I want to be bullish, not bearish. But trading's very hard for people to do. All I'm saying is put a little bit in
this. Not if you read a great book that recently came out.
No, Crypto Trader,
which tells you how to make lots of money like I did.
Glenn.
It is doable.
Listen, Glenn's done it again. Big profit, Glenn. Listen now. It takes years. You can read a book and it's a good, foundation for starting to learn. But you know full well, when you actually get the practical side of trading, emotions kick in and it becomes a whole different ball. It's like learning about war, in a book and actually going into a war field in the heat of battle and then saying, right, what do they say in the book now, chapter 4? When someone's shooting at me and I'm about to be killed, what do they say? You know, it's a different kind of thing, isn't it? Emotions get involved. It's very hard. You have to do years of practice.
Believe it or not, if you want to become stupidly rich, you have to make some effort. effort, you know.
Exactly.
You
can't just Most people don't. Most people just want to be lazy and get rich.
That's up to them. But
and that's why most people try to trade in. I just start trading and earn loads of money. They can't. It's hard. It's the same as, like I said, you know, if you said to someone, right, learn a bit of plumbing from a book and go and fix that sink, and you've never done it, you can't do it. You have to get out, then do it.
Exactly. But they read the book about sinks, they fix the sink, they get it wrong, they do it a few more times, get it wrong, and then eventually they know how to fix a sink and they're really good at it. And what's more, they can then charge people to fix their sinks.
The difference is, Glenn, right here, is when you're trading with real money, you're losing money. So if you're a real plumber and you pretend you're a real plumber and go and try and fix the sink and you don't fix the sink, you will not be employed again. You get a bad rating on tradesperson and all that stuff. So, you know, you've got to be prepared. Like I said, people go into trading, the majority of people, let's be honest, go into trading so they're going to be rich doing very little. It's not like that at all. You've got to put in a lot of hard yards, haven't you? You've done that. You spent years doing it, you know? And that's why you've written a book. People can't just... I always get amazed by how people just think they can start as an investor or trader and do well within...
it's true. It's the same with investing as with trading. You've got to make the effort. You've got to put the time in. And, you know, it's all very well saying, for example, I'll just buy a bit of Bitcoin and hope for the best. That might work out, but as you say, for most...
I'm not hoping for the best. I'm looking at, you know, reasoned arguments.
You've done some due diligence.
What I'm saying is, always apply risk and exposure, you know, rules to your, you know, investment accounts. Always, of course. That's rule number one that in my small cap investing. You know, risk, never overexpose yourself to anything. If you get that right, you're fine. You can mess up several times. It doesn't matter. But if you look at the background and what's happening here, the trend, you know, where it's going, let's be honest, people are going to use more digital currencies, you know? That's a fact. Do you say that's a fact? I'm on your side, you get. I'm bigging up. Glenn, you're being devil's advocate, but I'm on your side, yeah.
I'm a natural contrarian, Justin. You see, if you were slagging off Bitcoin, then I'd be bigging it up. And because you're bigging it up, I'm doing the opposite. This is just how my mind works. But that's how, you know, that's how I've made money trading over the years, is by always being skeptical about any argument. So when it comes to Bitcoin, I totally accept all the positive arguments that you've just They are all absolute, you know, all of that is absolutely valid. I'm just trying to point out that there's another side. There is a kind of maybe this won't happen for this, that, and the other reason. I mean, for example, we're going to know by this time next week whether the SEC has approved the first Bitcoin ETF. If they do, fantastic. But there is a possibility they won't. And the reason that they've given so far in the past is that they have to be satisfied that protections are in place for preventing market manipulation. Now, obviously, they can prevent an ETF from being manipulated on a regulated exchange. But the price of the Bitcoin ETF will no doubt be tied to the price that is created on various unregulated exchanges, Bitcoin exchanges, all over the world. And there's no doubt that manipulation is going on in many of those exchanges. We've got proof that the vast majority of cryptocurrency exchanges, the unregulated ones, are still being manipulated in all kinds of dodgy ways. So that could be a real spanner in the works, but we will find out this time next week. But your point is valid. This is like 1993, and 1993, everything was a bit of a mess in the internet world. Likewise, everything's still a bit of a mess in the cryptocurrency world, but, you know, it's early days. They're still creating the infrastructure. It's still nuts and bolts time.
Yeah, I don't think the ETF will be a spanner in the works because they've been turned down before, and it may have a little dip, but you know what? Like I said, the increased adoption of cryptocurrencies, it was generally good for the entire market. It's like a rising tide, you know. And of course, we'll have dips. But like I said, like anything, if you're going to be an investor, you've got to get the right price. And like all things, like any investing, even a company, if you're investing in a company, it may not work out. Yep. You have to prepare to note that. But I think it will go. I think it's going to 10 million.
Well, if it does, Justin, you know, I'm afraid I'll have to excuse myself from the podcast because I'd be on my own 100 million pound yacht. Oh, no, I suppose I could have a satellite phone
You've been trading up and down for a little bit, but a little percentage gains here. I'll be on 10,000%.
You need to read the crypto trader, mate. I tell you, I don't trade like that. I'm a trend follower.
I started it.
I'm a trend follower. So if Bitcoin is going to a million, I'm going to be on that train. I'm not going to be trading in and out constantly.
Would you though? But it's quite volatile though, isn't it? Wouldn't you be stopped out several times?
Only if it goes. Only if it has the kind of bear markets that it had in, you know, in 2018, where I sold and kept my profit, and then it went down like 80%. I don't like to sit through 80% corrections, put it that way. But I am willing to sit through minor corrections. Certainly.
So, would you say the recent correction is a big one, or how big is a big correction? So we hit, what did it hit, 12,000 or 13,000?
14,000, yeah. This is a big correction, certainly. It's not quite 50%, but it's pretty hefty. And yes, I did sell my Bitcoin near the top of it.
Your Bitcoin?
I'm sitting on my hand. Don't worry, I can get back in any time. I could get back in right now while I'm talking to you. That's how quickly I could get back in, Justin. I ain't, like I said, if it's going to the moon, as they say, I will be in Bitcoin, rest assured.
I tell you what, weekly chart is not looking very good. I mean, it's looking more downside. If you look at the, the only thing I'm looking at here on the weekly chart is the MACDs. They've rolled over, they've crossed over, and previously, when that's happened, you know, it's headed towards zero on the MACDs. It's exerted further downward pressure. So, but do you see that video I tweeted out yesterday about, I don't know, I get it, what's the guy's, Mark, I don't know what it is, I'll tweet you now. He gave a very good, where is it by? It was retweeted a couple of times. Worth a minute of your time. I'll copy it with you now. Glenn Goodman's on Twitter. What are you, Glenn? At Glenn Goodman, that makes sense. I've just sent you on Twitter, but a guy there, and he compares it to...
is this the CNBC video?
Yeah. And the lady, I mean, I don't think he made it a slightly, not accurate comparison with Amazon, because Amazon's a business creating revenue and profits. But he compared the volatility to Amazon. And he said, yeah, listen, the woman said, yeah, but she said, buy Bitcoin. He said, yeah, buy it, yeah. And she said, you'd say buy if it went out of 5,000. Yes, I would. Yes, he said, if you look at Amazon, he went through all the variations in the volatility of Amazon, right? And he said every year he's seen double-digit drops, including this year, it's gone down like 30% or something from high to bottom. He said, and who has held Amazon since the start? Jeff and his parents, pretty much, that's
right.
It.
Okay, he's making a classic psychological error. He's employing survivorship bias here, which means basically he is saying, of course it makes sense to sit through all the ups and massive downs of Amazon's price over the years, but that's because he's looking at the winner only. He's looking at Amazon. What about all those other technology companies that didn't thrive? And if you had sat through their drawdowns and their corrections, you would have no money left. You would have lost all your savings, as I'm sure lots of people listening have been through, as I have in the past, that kind of thing where you invest in technology companies and you think the price is going to come back up when it has a bear market, but it never comes back up. So the point is, for every Amazon where it would have made sense to sit through all those corrections, there are another 100 technology companies that you might have invested in where that strategy would not have worked.
Exactly, but I'll counter your argument there in regards to Bitcoin, Glenn, saying we've just gone through the major bear market of Bitcoin. It survived.
But what if we're still in that bear market?
We've rallied strongly. Now we consolidate. We'll have a pullback, I think. I think you're probably coming to find... I've set up my... It's surprisingly easy to set up my... reactivate my Coinbase account, which worries me a little bit. But I reset that up, bought some Bitcoin. I'm going to be buying Bitcoin. I don't know what to buy. Every month, I'm going to buy a little bit. Every month, a little bit. Not a huge overexposure. So I'm not going to be crazy, but I'm going to be over the next 10 years, I'm going to be buying Bitcoin if I'm still alive.
Why not just do what I do?
A dirty trader. I'm not a dirty trader like you, Glenn.
It ain't dirty. It's a shiny. This is what I do, right? I trade according to the reality in front of my eyes. So if Bitcoin
tell me what
is
to do
in a
next
bear market,
time.
If Bitcoin is falling,
I want to accumulate.
Then I'm selling it. Look, you know that I went short.
I want to accumulate.
When it fell recently from that triangle we'd been talking about, I went short and I made money out of it going down. Had it gone up instead of down, had it broken out upwards, I would have bought it, right? So this is the thing, is that, the best traders like George Soros, what they do is
and they you. Only you and George,
me and my mate
Glenn George, and George.
We do what is in front of our eyes, and we are willing to change our mind in a split second if what we thought was going to happen, it turns out, is not happening. We will suddenly, just like that, take the opposite point of view, and that is exactly how I trade. In the sense that with Bitcoin, when it's in a bull market, I'm bullish and I'm buying and I'm buying. The second that I see a sign that the trend is no longer what it once was, then I'm out, and I'm even considering going short in those situations. So I've made money from cryptocurrencies on the long side and the short side. I prefer the long side because, as we've talked about a million times, it can go to infinity, whereas the short side can only go to zero, a maximum profit of 100%, as opposed to a maximum profit of infinity if something's going upwards. But the point remains, you know, just okay, so your strategy could work if Bitcoin goes to the moon, but you're only taking into account one scenario. Whereas with trading in the way that I do, whatever happens, I can make money. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, but let me tell you something. If you look at the top, say, 1,000 people in the world, right, richest people in the world, none of them are traders.
Well, George Soros is.
He's not a trader.
He's a trader.
He does not look at charts and look at technical analysis and say, right, I'm going to. He's fundamental trader, maybe.
Well, he's a macro trader, yeah, but he's still a trader.
But he's a fundamental.
He's not an
investor. But no, he'll go long. He will go short, but he will hold not for minutes or days. He will over weeks, months, years.
Yeah, so do I. There are different ways of trading. You can trade long term. I'm fundamentally a medium to long term trader. I've held positions for years at a time.
Do you know what that made me think then? Just you physically standing in a certain position, holding it for a long time. Like a silly position. I've held that position for ages, just standing on my one leg, arms in the air like this. Listen, I understand. I just think trading, I like to acquire assets. And hope they'll appreciate, you know? That's what I like to do. And if I see a dip sometimes, I think I can get that asset cheaper. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking, right now, if someone said to me, okay, listen, you know, gold is going to be, you know, like go back like, to the 70s when gold was $100 or something, you know? So we're saying in 30 years, gold would be like close to $2,000. You know, do you want to buy it? No, I need to buy it now. You think, like, I'd accumulate as much as I can.
Yeah, but you don't know the future. That's the problem.
But again, gold is another thing. I'm starting to buy in on weakness, you know, because I want to accumulate it. Because I just genuinely
you don't
think
know gold's going to be strong in 2,000 years'
no,
time.
No, I don't. But
you would have known, you know, 2,000 years ago. Yeah, if you had a time machine, it would have been a short bet to invest in gold. But you don't know that the next 2,000 years is going to be like the last 2,000 years.
I pretty much do. Listen, I guarantee. I've done that with all companies I've owned.
Are you an Oracle? Are you one of those oracles?
Yes, that's the difference between an investor and a trader. An investor, you've got a feeling in your stomach. You do research. You got this. There's certain companies I've had, you know, convictions on. I haven't done it recently, but you feel it. I know this is underpriced, and you get a lot of various people, you know, on Twitter saying blah 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 blah, blah. And you know, it's done very well, and you know, it's 5-10 bagged. I think right, I knew that was going to do well, and let's be honest, we know. That's, you know, you have its volatility, but you know it's going to grind up. Supply problems, you know, gold, lack of supply again, but it's a precious metal. And it gets it hard, it's getting more costly to get it out of the ground, and there's less of it. And yet, you've got middle classes in China and in India who really demand gold. It's going up. So it's going to continue to rise. That's sheer fundamentals. It's very basic fundamentals.
The price of gold is still significantly lower than it was in 2011.
I know, but have a look at the rally it had.
Yeah, I know. I've been profiting from that rally. I've been into gold since it broke out.
Glenn's done it again. Glenn, you never lose. That's why you should buy the cryptocurrency book, Crypto Trader. All the secrets are in here.
Are you rifling through the pages as
yes.
we speak? Do that thing where it goes brrrr with the pages. Yeah.
Are there any examples of in here? Have you losing?
There we go. Yes, there are. In fact, right at the beginning, I start with
you lost
my
once.
Sad story.
I lost money once. Well, I'll never do it again.
The sad story I've told you before about gameplay, you know, when in my early days during the dot-com boom where I invested. But I did that thing that you're kind of advocating, which is averaging down.
I was buying more and more shares
the lower it went until it eventually went to zero and I lost a lot.
Let me ask you a question. How long was that company around for?
A few years, no more than that.
Yeah. So
Yeah, so, but it would seem like it was going to be the next Amazon.
There was no next Amazon then. So what were they doing? What was the business?
They were doing something. That's the thing. They had the right idea. Rather like Bit is a good analogy because it's rather like Bitcoin has the right idea.
Their idea
was to revolutionize the new world of online gaming. They saw that online gaming was going to be the next big thing. And guess what? It was the next big thing. The problem is gameplay turned out not to be one of the winners. It's like anything, isn't it? It's like people always use the railroad example or early automobiles. You know, you can be right that something's the next big thing, but you can choose the wrong company to follow. And likewise, while Bitcoin has got massive first mover advantage and it seems most likely to be the winner in all of this, there is a significant chance that it might not be the winner, that it will be overtaken by another and better cryptocurrency.
Did gameplay ever have the kind of market dominance that Bitcoin has? We're talking about 200 billion market cap.
No. It didn't.
No more questions, Your Honour. No, you didn't. Like I said, there's always risk. I'm just thinking, you know, when you first buy something, you get very enthusiastic about something, it's going to the moon. That's the pyramid at the moment. I did own Bitcoin before, but I'm just saying now we've gone through that bear market where I did think crypto had it. I thought, that's it, crypto. It was a fad, it was a phase. It's not going to last. But you realise now you've come out of this bear market, a nasty bear market. I think we still have some big sell-offs to happen. But I do think that was a test of it, really, a major test of it. And yet now, like I said, the hash rate's gone up. Since that big spike, we've had so many big companies, institutions adopting digital payments. And I think this is just the strength of the original proof of concept was Bitcoin. And now everyone else is copying that kind of blockchain technology, you know, or using that, you know, decentralized model or whatever. And it's just to Bitcoin's strength in my mind. Because other cryptocurrencies obviously don't have that. I just like that fact that they've got that hard limit, hard cap on their supply. Other cryptocurrencies don't have that.
It could be the winning factor. It really could be. It's true. Because, as you say, other currencies, people are more and more losing faith in governments. And when you lose faith in governments, you also lose faith that they will honor the requirements of their own national currencies. And of course, they're not honoring them. They're printing more and more freely. They're getting more and more kind of blasé about the idea of printing free money. You remember in 2008, it was seen as an emergency, wasn't it? And it was like quantitative easing. We're doing it because this is an absolute emergency and we have to save the world's banking system. Whereas now, they'll just do quantitative easing willy-nilly. They'll just do it because this month's unemployment figures came in slightly bad or whatever. You know, it's like they don't seem to care anymore about the idea of printing more and more money. And as you say, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, exactly. People lose faith. And I do feel the younger generation are losing more faith in the government, you know.
Definitely.
The more they lose faith in the government, that'll boost alternative currencies, I think, that seem to be sort of decentralized or independent of central banks, you know, and government officials.
There's a strong narrative.
Any other news worth chatting about on Crypto Glenn? At the moment, where would you see, because someone said to me, oh, crypto bounced yesterday, didn't it, about 5% or something. They're going to get into a company, you know, Argo Blockchain Mining, which I own some shares of. They're going to get into that. I said, oh, no, I'm not. I said, I'm not going to buy more shares of Argo until we get Bitcoin in an uptrend here, because of course as Bitcoin goes down, they've got excellent margins, you know, they're more efficient than most other miners in the market, but it will still erode their margins, and the more it goes down, the smaller their margins become. So until I see that uptrend in Bitcoin, I'm not going to buy. So I said it's got to be above
you
that.
You sound a bit like a trader there.
Yeah, but it's
a dirty trader.
Well, it's got to be above that 200-day moving average of 8,500. It's got to get
you
back above that.
You definitely sound like a dirty trader now, talking about
Listen, difference is, I don't mind accumulating Bitcoin, right? But I'm not going to buy shares in a company that mines it for a profit, because if Bitcoin goes down, their profits will be squeezed, and if they have to report that, their share price will get hit, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Bitcoin is an asset you can accumulate. I believe, I said it's open to the question, you know, we've been arguing that last half an hour, but I believe it will appreciate in time. So I just think maybe that's the way, you know. But I mean, that's the difference between holding a company that mines it and actually having the asset yourself. But what's your thoughts on Bitcoin? Where will you go long or where will you go short, yeah?
Who, me?
No, the guy next to you. Yeah, you.
I thought you were talking sort of rhetorically. I wasn't sure if you were actually asking me. What I'm doing at the moment is waiting for the next pattern to form. I mean, at the moment, what pattern we have on the chart so far is looking somewhat bearish. So I'm not inclined to go short again. I went short from that large triangle pattern that we'd been talking about for weeks and weeks, and I made money on that short. But at the moment, it's in a kind of situation where I just want to wait and see. I'm not in the prediction game. I don't like to say it's definitely going up or it's definitely going down, because anybody who says that is a liar, let's face it. Anybody who claims that they know where the price is going next, they're just talking rubbish. Everybody wants to hear what they've got to say on CNBC, but it doesn't mean it's true. Wrong as often as they're right, the people who make such predictions. So what I'm doing is I'm sitting on my hands. I'm waiting to see how it all unfolds. And once I see something similar, say, to that triangle pattern that we'd been talking about for weeks and weeks, then I'll know how to trade it, because I'll know the boundaries. I'll know the trading range. I'll know what's the bottom and the top of the trading range that the price is bouncing up and down between. And once I know that, I'm in a strong position, because it means I know where to buy, at what point the breakout will be upwards, and at what point the breakout will be downwards. And that's how I can make money trading, is by knowing where the big movements are likely to happen.
Yeah, well, I've got two alerts here, right? There's a fine line at 77.45. That's downside if it breaks that. 77.45 down and 8.448. On the upside.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But the pattern that has formed so far, we're only talking about a few days worth of trading. For me, that's not usually enough to kind of form any kind of conviction either way. You know, since that massive breakdown happened, the one that I shorted, there's only been a handful of days of trading since then.
Well, 15.
Yeah, it's not enough. I need to see ideally at least a month, and possibly a lot more than that before. You know, the longer a pattern lasts, the stronger it is when it breaks out. And a perfect example of that, of course, is the gold price. The price of gold, because it went sideways effectively for it traded within a range for since 2013. So about 6 years. So once you get a breakout from a pattern of that length, you know that more likely than not is going to be pretty damn significant. Whereas at the moment, you know, we've just got this tiny little pattern of 15 days or whatever. It's bearish, but it's not bearish enough for me to go short, is what I'm saying. So I'm just waiting to see what happens next. And I do buy the long-term argument. And as soon as I get a good excuse to do so, I will be back into Bitcoin in a big way. You can be sure of that.
Yeah, I believe gold as well will be the same. I mean, we had a rally recently, and I just think that's the first move. I think it'll break above that previous, $1,800.
Way to go. Could well do,
2012, because we're going to have a slowdown. We're at the end of a cycle, I believe. You know, we've had a bull run now for over 10 years. Global growth is slowing down. The yield curve is inverting. There's all these economic data coming out that's showing contraction in manufacturing in the Eurozone, in our country. Construction's awful. In America, even, it's starting to slow down. And that was the one bright light in the gloomy global economy. And when that happens, of course, growth slows down. People have problems paying their debt. And everything, economy, slows down. So that central banks have to do something to try and stimulate that. That means basically, reducing interest rates pretty much, pumping the economy and adding to the supply of money. And I think then gold will be a safe haven, as will Bitcoin, digital gold, and they will rally again. That's what I reckon. And I reckon it could take until maybe next year, but I think it'll be a good rally. Strong rally. That's why I'm accumulating gold and Bitcoin, which is digital gold, right now again. Accumulate the asset. Do not trade it.
Sorry, you do. You string a good narrative. I like it.
Tell a good lie.
I'm buying it. I like the story. I think the story works both for gold and for Bitcoin. But as I say, as ever, I like to keep a skeptical eye on things and hedge my bets and be careful and all that kind of thing. That's how I've managed to be a trader for 20 years.
That's
20 long years.
Yeah, that's from a good friend. That's a good friend of George Soros. Me and George together, we sit over a cup of tea, we talk about trading and charts.
We're the only surviving traders. Everybody else has gone bust once.
Let me ask you a question. One more last question,
right? George left.
Last question to me. Chat a lot about Bitcoin.
Yeah, we have.
Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, right? Now, I'm going to accumulate on one weakness. I'm going to accumulate both of these. Not overexpose myself, just have enough of it, to have exposure to it. So I think long-term trend is good. I was going to just buy Bitcoin, and then I was going, oh, I'll buy the top three currencies, you know, Ripple and Ethereum. And I was like, oh, hang on, them got hard caps on those two, and they're different kind of things, but they may be successful. And I thought, oh, Bitcoin Cash, in fact, and that's obviously that's more usable. So I was going to say, split my investment between Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin. Do you think it's worth doing?
Bitcoin Cash has got some really strong and clever kind of people behind it who really believe wholeheartedly.
Have you heard of Jesus?
I've heard of this guy Jesus. Yeah, yeah. What about him?
Let me just follow him. I just followed him now. He's called Bitcoin Jesus.
Oh, I thought you were talking about actual Jesus.
No.
I've heard of the actual Jesus. Yeah, okay. I've seen. Please don't follow people with stupid avatars.
No. Roger Ver. Have you heard of Roger Ver?
Roger Ver is one of the strong, clever people. Oh, I see. You're saying some
Bitcoin
people call
Jesus.
I thought you were talking about just some account on Twitter with an avatar called Bitcoin Jesus, because there are loads of things like that.
Oh, he's verified.
Crypto guru, crypto this and that. Roger Ver is a real person, and he is kind of the main proponent of Bitcoin Cash, yes. Yeah. And he has good reasons for doing so. I mean, in some ways, it is a definite improvement on Bitcoin. What Bitcoin has over it, of course, is the massive market cap. Bitcoin has the first mover advantage. It's the established one. But Bitcoin Cash is arguably technologically superior. So that gives it that advantage. But so far, and Bitcoin Cash has been in existence for a couple of years now, it's still come nowhere close to eclipsing the original Bitcoin. So we'll have to wait and see.
But
as you say, if you want to hedge your bets a bit, then by all means, put some in Bitcoin and some in Bitcoin Cash. They're both very kind of well-established and responsible cryptocurrencies. They're not rubbish.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at him on his Twitter timeline, he's the major proponent of Bitcoin Cash. And the reason why it's split from Bitcoin, of course, is because transactional power is better, is faster and all this. But he's there on his doing videos on Twitter there, just showing paying at different restaurants, cafes with Bitcoin Cash, how fast it is. And he says there, and I was like, okay, well, he's going to be a strong proponent because obviously he stood behind it. But then he just said here on Twitter, there are far more physical shops accepting Bitcoin Cash than any other cryptocurrency. And that to me, wow, okay, that's quite
interesting. Yeah, so what, like 12 shops instead of 6
as opposed to
for
4.
Bitcoin?
Yeah,
right.
I know, there we are. Yeah, that adoption thing, I think, like I said, that adoption thing will take a while, but I think, you know, everyone's getting more digital orientated, more online, aren't they? So there we are.
Well, if you're an investor type, you know, if you're the kind of person like a lot of your listeners are who invest in small cap stocks, then obviously you always want to be early to the story, don't you? You want to be early in the game before everybody else. So if you buy that entire story about the devaluation of national currencies and how Bitcoin and gold have to be places where people store their value in the future, and if we really are in the equivalent of 1993, which I believe we are, then I guess as an investor it does make sense to get in earlier rather than later. And now is still early, believe it or not. You know, despite the massive boom we had in 2017, the fact is that in terms of adoption rates, we're still very early in the kind of long-term cycle, no doubt about it.
Marvelous stuff, Glenn. This book is still available, and don't forget,
if it's
going to help you, I get 0.0% commission. So that's
right. It's going up by the week.
Marvelous stuff. Glenn, good to chat next week.
Good stuff. Bye.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They're at 5, Crimson Tide. That's TIDE. I did a video on that on the weekend. I think some decent future ahead of it. Some big contracts and Internet of Things kind of stuff. Contracts with like Tesco's, Morrison's, Compass Catering, Evening Standard, and literally sub 12 million market cap. At 4, Catena Innovations, CTEA, up 44%. At 3, Bezant Resources, up 10% to 0.18. At 2, Argo Blockchain, good release out today, but I think some sellers are taking advantage and have sold it down. At down 1.2%, ARB ticker there. And at 1, Brady, up 59% to 6.625. Okay, that's it for the list of most followed. Here's top 5 most liked RNSs. At 5, Lansdowne Oil and Gas, Holdington Company. At 4, Zoetic International, adoption of new share option scheme. At 3, UK Oil and Gas, drilling update, Horse Hill. At 2, Central Asia Metals, Q3 operations update. And number 1, most liked RNS from Argo blockchain mining. Revenues increased by 75% in the third quarter. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.